This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
Farms and the local economy, the topic. Our guest is Mr. Ken Ayers, who heads the Division of Agriculture at the state's Department of Environmental Management. Ken, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Many people would think of the DEM as a regulatory agency. It's a place to get the fishing license. It's a place to follow some rule here and there. But there's also a strong connection between the department and the local economy, isn't there?
There is. Half of the agency is the Bureau of Natural Resources that contains our parks, agriculture, forestry, coastal, marine fisheries sections, et cetera. And there are some regulatory aspects to what that side of the agency does, but it has a strong natural resource component, relationship to improving the state's economy, et cetera.
We're going to talk about farming and the local economy in this segment. What is the general state of farming in Rhode Island as we speak?
Well, obviously, we're a small state and we don't grow a lot of anything. But if you look at farming in Rhode Island on a per capita or per acre basis, we do quite well. We have a very strong, what we call a green industry. That's the horticultural side of agriculture, things that you can't eat, nursery stock, turf, which is about 50% of farming in the state. The other half of it is generally food crops. Probably the biggest change in the past 20 years in Rhode Island in agriculture has been the transformation from a wholesale-minded agricultural economy to retail, and that results in the proliferation of farmers markets, various other retail efforts like Rhodey Fresh Milk, Farm to School, things like that. And that's created a lot of vibrancy in agriculture as well as the ties to the food economy in the state, which is vibrant.
When you mention the food economy, you're obviously including restaurants here as well, right?
I am. And you know, Providence itself was voted, I think 2 years ago, by Travel and Leisure magazine as the number one food city in the country. A lot of that was attributed to the connections between the restaurants in the city and local farmers and fishermen. So we realize that those ties are important. We do a lot to encourage those ties, direct connections between our fishermen, farmers, and restaurants. I think that's what's helped the restaurant business in Providence, et cetera.
So are the restaurants having an effect on what fishermen are catching, what farmers are growing?
They sure are. I mean, it's a market. It's an in-state market. And of course, the eaters of the state, the people that go to that restaurant, create a certain demand or draw, influence what restaurants, you know, put on the menu. There's a strong buy local movement in Rhode Island that translates to food. And certainly what restaurants do influences what fishermen catch to the degree they can and farmers grow. Also, really importantly, you know, we're in a northeastern state and we typically have a short growing season. But what the restaurant business has done is created a reason for growing for longer periods of time, season extension, we call it. Farmers growing later in the year and earlier in the year as well.
Now, starting in the post-war time, when the sort of the explosion of suburbs across the United States, a lot of farms were turned into residential or, you know, light and industrial development. And Rhode Island was actually a leader in that for a while. What's happening now on that front?
Rhode Island was a leader in the conversion of agricultural land to development. If you look back over the past 20 to 25 years, true. What that did was spark land protection efforts both at state and local level, which started 20 to 25 years ago and have really matured well in the state, but also caused us reason to look at agriculture a little bit differently and try and think about what we can do to improve the economy of agriculture as the best way of keeping farmers in business. You know, we buy development rights to farmland. It's very expensive, and we've done so at 90 to 95 farms in the state, but there's over 1,200 farms. And so we have to think about a portfolio of measures to keep agriculture in place. And first and foremost, it's economic viability. That's our focus.
So a lot of farmers would oftentimes sell out because it was just so hard to make a living. And you're saying that realizing the economic development needs of a farm will make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a farmer, selling the land at the end of their business career was typically their retirement. And that was more so true when the agricultural economy was poorer than it was today. So we can either assist by buying the development rights or, more importantly, give them a reason to pass that land on to the next generation. We want the next generation to essentially have hope to continue on in agriculture.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Ken Ayers, the head of the Division of Agriculture at the state's Department of Environmental Management. Let's talk a little about the definition of farmer. That's expanded tremendously, hasn't it?
there's a couple of definitions in play. If you go by the federal definition, USDA is simply any person who has or can produce $1,000 worth of income off their property, no income or no acreage definition there. The state has several definitions. It depends upon the program that's in play, but typically it's 5 acres and $2,500 per year in farm income.
If I wanted to start a farm, how much help can I get from the state?
Well, that's one thing that we pay attention to, not just at DEM, but we collaborate with URI and with others who have like-minded interest in missions. And we may cover different parts of the spectrum. We might, for example, help them out with permitting and regulatory issues at the Division of Agriculture, various programs that the state offers. When it comes down to how much fertilizer to put on a particular crop or what's this insect that's eating my leaves, then those are the type of questions that URI answers typically through the Cooperative Extension Service. There's other agencies and organizations out there like the conservation districts, various nonprofits who assist as well.
How about the financing?
We don't offer financing. We try and assist with grant funds. And one of the most, a brand new program is the Local Ag and Seafood Act grant program, which just rolled out this year and with assistance from the governor and General Assembly. And we take federal funds and put them into play. Financing is typically either through USDA, low interest loans, or some of the agricultural institutions like Farm Credit Northeast, et cetera.
Do you sense any kind of co-op movement, multiple owners for a single piece of property?
The co-op movement has played out in, let's take Ruddy Fresh as an example, formerly the dairy farmers, of which there's only about 16 left in the state. With our assistance, the grant fund that we gave out 10 years ago formed Ruddy Fresh Milk. Typically, they were independent, sometimes competitive. And for the first time in, frankly, the history of dairy farming, they got together and formed a co-op, and now they've got their own milk, Ruddy Fresh Milk. It's branded. It's well-known locally. We've seen that happen with beef recently. The Rhode Island Raised Livestock Association was born. Their sales increased by double digits each year. The aquaculturists have gotten together to form an association. So more and more we see aspects of agriculture getting together to collaborate with each other. That maybe may need the formation of a corp or simply coordination with each other.
In business, in industry, people talk a lot about the fact that it's a regional economy, and also and or that we're in competition with Connecticut, but even more especially Massachusetts. How does that work in the agriculture business?
Well, let's look at it from the standpoint of food production. At the end of World War II, it was estimated that Rhode Island produced about 50% of its food, and now the estimate is 1%. The estimate in New England is that we produce 10 to 11% of our food. We have set the goal and have a report coming out later on this month of increasing our food production to 50% within New England by the year 2060. That's a New England-wide six-state goal. So we are in a regional food shed, and we have to recognize that we need to have a regional food economy to produce food security going forward. Rhode Island will never again produce all of its food. There's too many people and too few farmland. We have to be connected with the rest of New England and frankly, some connection to the rest of the country. California in itself, because of the way the food system is developed in the country, produces 50 to 60 to 7% of all the fruits and vegetables in the country, one single state. And to us, that's not necessarily the best situation going forward. We think that we need to have much more of a local, sustainable food system that's New England-based.
Quick prediction as we wrap up. I know you mentioned some goals by 2060. Over the next 10 years, do you see Rhode Island farms expanding? Do you see the farms as being more of an influence in the local economy?
I think so, because the state has appropriately recognized that the local food economy is important. We spend $2.5 to $3 billion a year on food in this state. It's an opportunity for growth. It was recognized by Rhode Island Foundation as the food web as being one of the four economic intersections of the state going forward. There's a direct connection to our farming and fishing industry in this regard. So we are engaged in an effort to have a locally based sustainable food system. And that also will help put wind in the sails of our farmers and fishermen.
Okay. Our guest has been Ken Ayers of the State Department of Environmental Management. He is chief of the Division of Agriculture. Ken, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI. a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.